This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
We begin on a little bit of a sad note this morning. Pope Francis is condemning the senseless 4th of July parade shooting in suburban Chicago in Highland Park, Illinois. This is a story that has captured the attention not only of our country, but obviously of the Holy Father as well.
Yes, indeed. He's been following this closely and, in fact, sent a telegram through the Vatican Secretary of State, through Cardinal Parolin, saying that he was deeply saddened to learn about what he called the same words that you used, John, that senseless shooting. And he also took the opportunity to express his spiritual closeness to everyone who was affected by the attack. He said that he joined the entire community in praying that Almighty God would grant eternal rest to the dead and healing and consolation to the injured and the bereaved. And he went on to say that with unwavering faith that the grace of God is able to convert even the hardest of hearts. And through that, it's possible to depart from evil and do good. And so the Pope also prayed that every member of society would reject violence in all of its forms and have a respect for life in all of its stages. And he concluded that by sending his apostolic blessing as what he called a pledge of strength and peace in the Lord, John.
Well, it's just such a heart-wrenching story. To hear about seven people being shot in the way in which they died in a parade, a 4th of July parade of all things, and some 30 injured. My family actually were not too far from Highland Park. We were on our way to the Glenview parade. Just as we arrived there with our lawn chairs ready for a 4th of July parade, that parade was canceled because of the active shooting situation just up the road in Highland Park. So it affected many, many people on the day in which we're supposed to be celebrating the independence of our country.
Exactly. The day that we should be celebrating certainly the ideals of our amazing country, the freedom that we all have. And so it's so tragic that unfortunately, in our world right now, there's so much chaos. There's we always expect the presence of sin, though, and so again, we continue with the best way to fight it all that we have, which is certainly to continue to pray for peace, to pray for each one of those victims, to pray for everyone who has been affected, and of course to find comfort that the Pope also is praying along with all of us.
Meanwhile, I understand that there's been some wildfires raging around Roma. What's going on, Ashley?
Yes. You know, actually, John, we're now battling the latest one, which started on Monday afternoon and has been traveling along a valley. It's, believe it or not, it's actually called the Valle del Inferno of the fire. And it's because there's all kinds of strong winds and the really elevated temperatures. You may recall me reporting lately, John, that we have had one heat wave after the next here. So what's happening right now in the north of Rome in an area called Parco del Pineto, the firefighters and police have evacuated the park. They've evacuated local residents. They're saying that the air is absolutely unbreathable there. This is an urban regional park, which has been so since 1989. You can imagine there's hundreds of species of wildflowers and birds and animals there. And this blaze is coming just a few days after the wildfire in Casaletto off the Via Aurelia in the northwest outskirts of Rome broke out. And that was during the days that were eventually labeled the hottest temperatures ever recorded in Rome in June. And so that fire devoured a children's summer camp. There have been a sporting complex that was greatly damaged, also a number of private homes. And during that blaze, 50 gas cylinders, which were in storage, exploded. And that was because the strong winds kept driving the fire in that direction. So what's happening for us who live in the center of the city, my husband, John, and I live right next to St. Peter's Basilica. And so we have seen on these days a haze over the city. We certainly can smell that smoky smell in the air, and at different times ash has fluttered down over the city center. So we certainly continue to pray for all those affected, John.
And providentially, the Holy Father doesn't have to deal with this at St. Peter's Square during this month of July, because there is no papal audience outside. There's no audience at all.
That's right. That's right. There's no papal audience during the month of July. This is typically the time, due to the heat, of course, it's much more comfortable for pilgrims not to have to sit in that heat and await the Holy Father to arrive for the audience. But also it's meant to be a time for Vatican staff to take vacations and for people to enjoy holidays during this holiday season.
What's going on with the Italian Alps? I heard that there's been an avalanche. What in the world is going on there?
Yeah, John, this was a very tragic thing that happened this past Sunday afternoon. So a huge chunk of an alpine glacier in an area called Marmolada, it broke loose. And to give you just a little background, this peak is about 11,000 feet. It's the highest peak in the Eastern Dolomites. And this broke loose and sent down a huge flow of enormous chunks of snow and ice tumbling down the mountain, but going right over a hiking path. So they discovered immediately six dead, eight people injured, and 16 people were missing. Rescuers began checking license plates in the parking lot to try to figure out who might be unaccounted for. Then, indeed, five helicopters came in, rescue dogs came in, and they began using drones as well, going up and down the mountain, trying to locate mobile phone signals. Our prime minister rushed to the scene, and we did get some really good news yesterday, John, when seven hikers were found alive, some with injuries. That leaves five people unaccounted for. So again, if we could add these people, the souls of the departed, to our prayers, as well as everyone who's affected and those who are injured, John.
Wow. What a blessing, though, that those seven were found. But we definitely, we pray that all the rest are also found safe and sound. It is an act of nature, an act of God that you just described, for sure. You also have a story about a hospital wedding and a miracle.
Yes, yes. Well, here's some happy news for us. You know, John, the story is about a 47-year-old Italian man, and his name is Maurizio Colorio. Now, Maurizio sadly had a massive heart attack, and due to complications, was in his hospital bed just a few days ago in Turin, intubated in critical condition, and they knew he was hours away from death. So he said that his dying wish was to marry his girlfriend. And knowing that he just had hours left, the hospital staff quickly prepared an impromptu marriage ceremony. They called it an end-of-life marriage ceremony. And so a town hall official from Turin rushed over to the hospital. They made a little bride's bouquet. They used blood sample tubes, these empty blood sample tubes with red tops to become the bridal bouquet. And they even made balloons. You might be able to guess how. They inflated surgical gloves.
Wow.
So sure enough, the scene was set and the emotional ceremony occurred. And shortly after the marriage ceremony, Maurizio received some unexpected news. A compatible heart donor had just been found in Naples, hundreds of kilometers away. So a special flight was sent to collect the heart. In the meantime, in Turin, doctors prepared the operating room. And believe it or not, the new heart arrived 12 hours after the wedding had occurred, and the transplant was performed. It was a 7-hour operation, and it was considered a success. Afterwards, Maurizio went to intensive care, but this time he didn't have life support, but he had a perfectly functioning heart and a very happy wife, John.
Unbelievable story. Wow. That is really miraculous. You can totally see the hand of God. He said yes to marriage right down at the very end, and God rewarded him. What an amazing story, Ashley.
Beautiful. Yes. And I love the idea of saying yes to marriage. Indeed.
And tell us about the Siena Palio returning.
Yeah. Yes, John. Well, you know, it's been canceled for the last couple of years. And so the people of Siena are absolutely rejoicing to welcome back the bareback horse race, which occurs right in the heart of that Tuscan city of Siena. Now, when it was canceled these last 2 years, it was the first time it had been canceled since World War II, because the Palio dates all the way back to the 17th century. And it's held on two dates, the 2nd of July and the 16th of August. And imagine tens of thousands of spectators pouring into the main Siena Piazza to cheer on their favorite horses. So what it's all about is that riders and horses, they race three laps around the Piazza del Campo. And that's, for anyone who's visited, that's that central medieval square right in the heart of Siena. And you can imagine this is a fiercely contested competition. And it's between 10 of the city's 17 neighborhoods. They're called contrade. So before the race, the riders and the horses, they go to church for the priest's blessing. Yet even the horses, they go right into church, and the local priest of their contrada in their local parish offers a special blessing. So the Palio had not been canceled since 1855, and that was due to a deadly outbreak of cholera. So everyone is very happy to have had the Palio back in action again, and they had a lot to cheer about on this past Palio, John.
Aguri to the Palio. Finally, yes. In the minute plus that we have left, today is the feast of Saint Maria Goretti, that great hero of chastity. How is it being celebrated there in Roma?
Yes, you know, John, actually, a few days ago, I had the opportunity to go to Nettuno and to attend one of the days of Novena. So the special 9 days leading up to her feast day, where they host special masses. And it was a beautiful devotion there. You know, on this special day, there is a walk that goes from the farmhouse where she was stabbed by Alessandro Serinelli. They walk all the way to the hospital, which is better known as the Tent of Forgiveness, because it's there as she lay dying on the hospital bed that Maria Goretti voiced that she would forgive the man who stabbed her, the man who, and she eventually died right there in that very hospital bed. So it's so moving to have the chance to visit that. And so throughout the day today, there are special masses going on. I had the chance 1 year ago on this day to visit on her feast day with the Feltil family, a great Relevant Radio family, and to experience the celebrations in a town that loves their beautiful martyr, inspiration, and patron, Saint Maria Goretti.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.